Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I have a special guest for you, Jeremy, who is co-founder of the Patch System, that is going to talk to us about digital marketing for cash-based service providers and why in 2024 it cannot be an option for you anymore. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to chat. And yeah, I think it's a good way to put it. This is not an option. This is just it's a non-negotiable now. You have to have this stuff in place.
Yeah, at this point, it's a non-negotiable. So let's chat a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey. So you opened your physical therapy office during COVID. Is that correct?
Yeah. So long story short, I have an interesting background where I went to school for exercise and I moved to Boston because I got into DPT school there. But I did like a clinical round before DPT school and worked in hospital setting. And I was just like, this is not what I want to do with the rest of my life. I thought about physical therapy. I was going to be working with athletes and in the gym, and it was just not it. So I actually reverse engineered my like PT degree where I went and worked at Harvard actually. And I got an internship there and I was almost the liaison for athletes going from post-op back to the strength and conditioning world. This is what rehab should look like.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm not going back to DPT school now. So I got my LMT degree, our LMT license. I took a bunch of con ed in just like the movement world and kind of functioned as this hybrid provider where I was doing manual. I was mainly getting people into the gym and doing exercise. But yeah, long story short, I was working at a clinic, just myself doing that at it was a chiro clinic actually. And they went under during COVID. And so I got furloughed and went self-employed from there. And in 2021, started Ripple Physical Therapy, which is in downtown Boston. And I ended up hiring PTs from there. So that's my journey, and especially into the like brick and mortar space.
Oh, that's awesome. While you were opening this brick and mortar, what made you want to utilize online marketing and digital marketing and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I've always been super interested in the marketing just in general. I love branding and I love old Nike ads and that stuff like really speaks to me. I hired my first physical therapist and built my schedule on just word of mouth from me. And I hired this PT, full-time salary, the whole deal. I was like, well, I better figure this out because I now have this overhead and we don't take insurance because we're a fully cash-based clinic. We weren't just getting referrals all day long. So I really had to figure out, you know, how was I getting new leads in the door? So I really leaned into the Google Ads side of things with my current population, my current demographic. How do I do email marketing and what does that look like? And really leaned into customer journey and utilizing a CRM to message customers based on where they're at in their customer journey. So really it was like, I'm scared. I've just hired an employee and I better figure out how to get them new patients in the door. And I ended up loving it. And really, I removed myself from patient care pretty much immediately. A year into it, I maybe saw 4 to 6 people a week. And it was just like my OG people and really just leaned into the marketing side of things. So everything from, again, Google Ads, generating new leads to how do we nurture those new leads in our system to try to get them to become a customer.
I love that. So I'm curious because a lot of people, I feel like, neglect Google. It's one of the things my husband and I have done in our clinics is we always have some kind of Google ad running, even if it's not like a super high ad spend, but it's like just there. Why do you like Google over Facebook?
Google Ads is just so much higher intent for that new lead coming in. Because for me, and use our clinic, for example, is somebody searching Boston physical therapy and my ad shows up and they click on that ad and they go to my website and they fill out a form to become a potential patient. That person's actually looking for physical therapy. They're coming to us for a solution that's super high intent versus Facebook, where they might just be scrolling or they're on Instagram and maybe you have a really good like creative and it catches their attention and they fill out a form there, but then they totally forget it because they weren't actually looking for physical therapy or chiropractic at that point. I always explain like Meta ads, you're putting a billboard up basically. Nobody's actually driving to that location to get what they're looking for. Maybe you have really good creative and it catches their attention, but I would rather chase down less Google Ads leads because they're actually looking for physical therapy versus even double the amount of Facebook leads because they weren't really looking for me in the first place. They just kind of happened upon me. So that's usually how I look at it.
Is there a tip that you have for brick and mortars with Google Ads that you have found like maybe one of your top tips to help them improve their listing?
Yeah, you always look at this stuff on a local level. So it's really when we run with my digital marketing company, Patch, we run Google Ads for pretty much all of our PT clinics. And the biggest thing that we start with is how far away are people driving to come in and see you? And then you narrow that search radius from that. Of the furthest person drives 30 miles. Okay, we don't want to show up for anywhere further than that. And it's always sad when I take over an ads account from just your standard marketing company where they're not doing anything like that because they don't really understand a local service-based business. So you nail down that search radius and then really understand, especially if you have a certain niche that you're trying to go for. In our world, in the cash PT world, we don't want to show up for aquatic physical therapy or Medicare physical therapy or things like that, where it's like there might be a ton of search volume for that, but understanding what you don't want to show up for is almost just as important. So if you can nail your location down and then figure out what is your ideal avatar searching, your Google Ads should be pretty effective.
Yeah. We've always utilized Google Ads, so I love that. And then you mentioned CRM. For some people, maybe they are CRM experts, but for some people listening to this, they're like, what is CRM? So can you break that down a little bit for them as well?
Totally, yeah. One of the things we do is we build out CRMs for the cash clinics that we work with. And really what it is, it's a marketing machine that lives in the back end of your business. Mm-hmm. So CRM, customer relationship management, it's where you track all of your leads. So anytime somebody inquires with your business, instead of it going to a Google Sheet or just lives in your EMR or wherever it is, it's being kind of put into this CRM and organized in a couple different ways. So we organize our leads by what is their hobbies? So how do they reach out to us? Are they runners? Are they golfers? Maybe they're looking for pelvic health, whatever it might be. So we start to segment them that way. We also segment them by, are they current patients or are they lost patients or maybe they just inquired about services? So we get a lot of really good organization based on that. And that helps us create the automation side of all of this. Whereas from the point where somebody inquires about services, so they fill out a form on our website or maybe they book a call with me or whatever that first step is, they get enrolled in an email drip. And within the CRM, as somebody moves through their patient life cycle, so they book that discovery call, they schedule their eval, they come in for the evaluation, they purchase a package or they don't purchase a package. Throughout that whole journey, they're getting specific messaging based on some of the questions that they may have in the back of their brain. And so that becomes really useful in two ways. One of them, in the cash PT world, we're selling packages of sessions. So a 10-pack of sessions might be $2,000. That's basically high ticket sales is really what we're trying to do. So we need to nurture that person as much as possible before they come in for that package because I don't want there to be any surprise. I want my PTs to have a really high chance of converting on this package. The way we do that is through education and these emails that go out beforehand. So that's really one of the main reasons why we do it and why it's really effective. The second part with that would be when somebody doesn't purchase a package. So on the other end of that, we enroll them in an email drip that kind of does the opposite where we're talking about why didn't they purchase a package? Maybe because we're out of network or it's too expensive. And then we hit them with emails based on that to try to get them back in. So that's what a CRM does in general.
Yeah. So essentially handling their objections if they don't commit. And I think that one thing that I've noticed taking a peek inside of clinics is, one, most people don't even have a nurture sequence once people become a patient, right? Because that helps with retention. If you're talking to them after they've already paid for your services, you don't want them to have buyer's remorse. So how can you add even more value to their life after they've given you their credit card and paid you? If you have that nurture sequence for them and can support them and help them reach other goals through your care and the holistic living and that sort of thing, that's a great option. But a lot of times I find once people have that lead reach out, that lead is left to die. If they don't either, one, come in for a new patient appointment, or two, they don't convert to care, they're never really followed up with past that point. And I just think of all of the money we're leaving on the table.
Totally. Yeah. I think it's always interesting when we bring businesses on board with Patch and we give them visibility into what that looks like. They sign up with us and they're like, we're getting no new leads, no new patients, no new customers. And we do a couple months worth of data tracking for them. It's like, hey, you had 80 leads this month. You just didn't do anything with them. Like you didn't know where they were going, or you didn't know how to nurture them properly. So I think one of the questions I always hear is, how do I get new patients in the door? A lot of times the answer is, you have enough. We just need to nurture these people properly and get them to convert into patients. So it's a really nice mindset shift for a lot of the clinics we work with.
Do you do texting as well as emailing, or are you primarily focused on email?
Yeah, we utilize text as well. We utilize text a lot of times in any type of like local marketing events that clinics do. Mm-hmm. So we help them. Maybe they're doing like a low back pain workshop at a CrossFit gym or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. We'll utilize text for like reminders for those events coming up. And then when we're doing like what we call our quarterly marketing campaigns, so usually once a quarter, we create some sort of deal or marketing campaign just based on like seasonality or whatever's going on. Last quarter, we did the CrossFit Open was a big one. This quarter, it's a lot of clinics are doing like spring into fitness. Like where I'm in New England, so it's winter. Now it's nice out. People are getting outside. They're running and just talking to that and putting a little deal behind that is really effective. And we use text follow-up. If somebody opened an email, they went to the landing page, maybe they didn't follow through, we'll hit them with a text message and just say, hey, wanted to let you know about the spring into fitness campaign that we're doing. It's 10% off your first 5 sessions or whatever it might be. That's where we try not to mass text. We try to be very personalized and specific with those texts because we see that works a little bit better.
Yeah, that's what I have found too. The more personalized you could be, the better, but also the more automated the system is. Because I know as a clinic owner myself, I'm not sitting there on Tuesday when I'm adjusting patients all day and being like, I should follow up with the leads from 2 weeks ago that didn't convert. I'm worrying about the patient in front of me or my team or something else is getting brought up. So I think it's just a good reminder that the more of these systems within our businesses that we can have automated, the better. And likely it's who, not how, right? I know for me in a lot of the areas, it's been like, I could learn how to do that and be the one that spearheads that, but do I have capacity for that? Is it something that I should just delegate to a team? And I'm sure the clinic owners you work with are very similar, that they're managing so much stuff, they really just need to delegate a lot of these processes.
Totally. Yeah. And that's one of the big kind of breakthroughs that I had with business as well. Is like, I read that book, 10X is easier than 2X. So it's really the concept of you got to find your who's basically. And for all of the clinics that we work with, we are the who on the marketing side of things. Like you said, you need to be worried about, as a clinic owner with staff members, right? Like you need to be a good leader. You need to make sure your staff members are happy. You need to make sure you're doing all the local relationships, you're selling in clinic. I think that is what you should be focusing on. A lot of times you don't have time, effort, or energy on the marketing side of things. The amount of clinic owners that I talk with that are just like, we don't do any marketing, which is we just don't do it, because I think it's true. It just falls to the bottom of the totem pole. So that's how we position ourselves, is we'll be your who. You know, one of our packages, it's like a fractional CMO package is really what it is. So anything on the marketing end of things, we'll handle for you. I think just talking CRM, it was one of the biggest reasons why my clinic was attractive for somebody to come in and buy. I think there's a bunch of different reasons for that, but the automation is a big part of that, right? Like our marketing is pretty much set and forget in terms of anybody that's in our CRM, they're getting the proper messaging wherever they're at in that customer journey. So there's no manual process of the follow-up and the reach out. We don't have a ton of that. It's happening on the back end already, and it's successful as well. A good CRM provides like loads of data for you as well. So we're talking Google Ads. Our CRM provides insight into what's our cost per acquisition, what's our ROI, how many of these paid ad leads are turning into customers. Again, talking about selling a clinic, having that data on hand and it just automatically being updated is very attractive to a buyer, whether it's somebody in the industry, private equity, whatever it might be.
Are you fascinated when you get into businesses? Because I feel like we have similar roles, even though we do different things. Are you fascinated when you get inside and like most clinic owners don't know their numbers or like cost acquiring a customer or LTV or things like that? And it's like, how are you making any marketing decisions if you don't know these numbers?
It's so true. And like, I nerd out on that stuff. I love that stuff. Yeah. it really should just be a math equation for your marketing side of things. So again, I think that's one of the nice unlocks that I had at my clinic. And what I really leaned into this theory of, it's called like revenue operations. It's like, how do we merge sales and marketing and make it one like section of your business? Because you don't want your sales and your marketing to be siloed. That's more of a B2B like SaaS type thought process. Use that. And how do we utilize that in a clinic space? Yeah, understanding what percent of your customers are coming from paid ads versus referrals versus word of mouth. Things like that, it makes being able to step away from the clinic a lot easier because you have tons of clarity. I think a good example is my clinic's in downtown Boston, and my fiance and I, we live in Maine. I've lived in Maine for the last year and a half, and I go into the clinic like once every couple months because I don't need to. I'm in the way when I go down there. People don't want me there because we have a clinic director in place. She runs the day-to-day, and I just make sure that we're doing all the right things to get new customers in the door, and it worked quite nicely.
Yeah. And I love the opportunity for the business owner to have that freedom. I think it's something that I've tried to encourage my clients to see. Like, the more data you have, the more freedom you have, essentially, because we have different systems in place where I can keep a pulse on my business. I could be in Florida or I could be in Europe. And I'm like, okay, let me see what the clinic did today. I open up my stuff. It's all there. It's great. Okay. We're on track. We're pacing the way that we should be. I think that's where a lot of overwhelm comes from as business owners, is we just don't know what we don't know. And it can be paralyzing when you feel like you don't have a handle on the way things are going.
Totally. Yeah. And I think even like on the other side of it too, I think some clinic owners do a really good job of tracking this stuff, but they have so much data. It's like, you don't need every little last bit of these data points. You need to really understand, what are your high leverage KPIs? What are some of those leading indicators? Let's figure out what those are and pay attention to those things, because to the nth degree, these data points that you're tracking may be causing you more stress, and it's not really changing how your business is working too. So I think it's understanding, what are those high leverage KPIs, making sure that you're tracking those. Ideally, you're using software and a piece of technology to track that. That's where, again, a CRM comes into play. Because if you're doing that manually, again, that's sucking more of your time away from doing bigger things as well. And there's pieces of software out there that do that. Yeah, I think it's really important.
That's awesome. What is something that you've learned as an entrepreneur that you think would be super beneficial for other entrepreneurs to know? Is there one lesson that you've learned that you could share with the listeners?
I think as soon as I stopped micromanaging my clinic, then we started growing faster than we ever had before. As soon as I was like, you know what? I don't care if the kettlebell is turned. This just is a little bit here, and I go in and make sure that it's like always perfect. My clinic director that I've had on board, she's amazing. She totally runs the whole education side of the business. I have nothing to do with that. And beforehand, I always had my hands in these things of, no, let's teach them this or go over this manual technique. And I look at my whole business like that now too, is, you know, I have my lane and the sales and marketing and obviously running the company before I exited, but everything else, I delegated it out. And as soon as I started doing that and gave people the ownership or the ability to take ownership in some of these roles, My staff was happier. They crushed it. Our business grew. And I've only had one PT leave, and she moved to Germany for a job in soccer. So like, we have a ton of retention because we really elevate our staff members. So I think a lot of clinic owners that I see, they're just too much in the weeds. They've got their hands in too much. And as soon as they take a step back and allow for their staff members to handle some things, they realize other people can do what you are doing and they can do it fine. Don't worry about it.
Totally. Yeah, I totally resonate with that. I see a lot of micromanaging, and sometimes it's because the systems aren't there to support the staff. And so the staff is unclear on what needs to be done. But other times it's like the owner just wanting to keep their hand in things. So I think that's a great piece of advice. Because we are called the Wealthy Practitioner, I love to ask my guests, what does wealthy mean to you?
It's a great question. I was prepping some stuff for this. I think the biggest thing, especially what I've learned with selling the clinic and having location freedom for the most part, is the time and location freedom. I think you can't put a dollar amount on that. This winter, we lived at a ski resort, which is very important to us. We love winter and skiing and being outdoors and not having to drive an hour and a half, 2 hours to go skiing. That was very important to us. So I think that's when I think wealthy, it's, you know, doing things that you want to do and when you want to do them. So I love working. So like a fun Saturday morning for me is logging on and doing work stuff, having the choice where if there's a bunch of snow, I can go ski instead. That's when I look at wealthy. That's really what I look for, is time, location, and decision freedom.
Yeah, I love even mentioning decision freedom, because there is nothing more paralyzing in your business having to make decisions that you don't necessarily want to, but because you have to. It's really freeing to be able to decide, yeah, I want to hire that person or I don't, or I want to let this person go or I don't, or I want to expand or I don't. But being able to have the ability to make those decisions is super important. Amazing. And where can our listeners connect with you?
Yeah, I'm super active on Instagram @_JeremyDupont. I'm trying to post on there. And you can find us at thepatchsystem.com. That's where you can find out more about our marketing company and kind of what we're doing. We're working with cash providers, whether you're a chiro or PT clinic. We're posting loads on there as well. So those two places are the best.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Stephanie. Appreciate it.
Hey there, do you struggle with using multiple softwares to run your office? Well, I have the perfect solution for you. Genesis Chiropractic Software by Clinic Mind. This all-in-one system and billing service is cloud-based and designed by chiropractors for chiropractors. Its automated workflows streamline every aspect of your practice, from efficient billing processes that increase your collections to easy-to-use dashboards and retention tools that will keep your patients compliant with your care recommendations. We all know it's not just about getting more new patients, but also keeping the ones you do have happy. If you're interested in improving your office with a proven platform that works and want things to stop falling through the cracks, check them out at genesischiropracticsoftware.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.